Hello again and welcome to the program. We're here with another message in the last mile of the way. Today we're switching over to the book of Jude in this series and reading the first three verses. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We're going to look at this before we do. This is a prayer, this message and song. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Take my voice, take my lips, take my silver and my gold, take my will, in verse 4. May it no longer be mine. Take my love, take my hands, and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my life and let it be. Now, some people just leave it right there. Yeah, just take my life and let it be. I want to do the way I want to do. No, if we're really going to get anything out of this series, and any time we study the Word of God, our sincere, honest prayer should be, take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine, which means I might have to change my position on some things. Sing along with this message and song. Make it your sincere prayer today. purpose that Jude had in writing was twofold. One was to expose the apostates, and the other was to encourage the remnant. Now, the dictionary says the word expose is to reveal the true objectionable nature of someone or something. To reveal is to make unknown information known to others. But the problem when we do that is we become objectionable and we arouse opposition. And so we don't want opposition. So let's just not do this. Well, then let's just not be a Bible Christian. The other side of this is to encourage the remnant. Now, to encourage is to give support and advice to someone so that they will do or continue to do something. And so Jude is writing here, he's exposing the apostates, but he's encouraging the remnant, in fact, challenging the remnant to do something. Now, the remnant. What is a remnant? It's a small remaining quantity of something. It's used in the Bible of material. It's used in the Bible of God's people. In fact, Isaiah said, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. So what is a remnant? It's a small remaining quantity of something. But who really are the remnant? Who's part of the remnant today? Now, Elijah back there in 1 Kings, he thought he was the only one. He said, I only am left. And God said, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. And so Elijah thought he was all alone. Well, he was all alone on that mountain while those cowardly fundamental prophets were hiding in a cave. He felt like he was all alone. But look out, Elijah. Why? Well, because in chapter 19 and verse 9, we find him in a cave. Now, he was concerned about those 50 prophets in one cave, 50 prophets in another cave, looking out there saying, my guy Elijah's going to get us all killed. And here in chapter 19 and verse 9, he is in a cave. And the Lord says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? You're part of the remnant. Who's part of the remnant? Well, certainly Elijah. How about Joseph and Mary? Were they part of the remnant? Absolutely. Boy, when Jesus was first born, they were so concerned. But he was only 12 years old. When you read the story in Luke chapter 2, they are supposing him to have been in the company. They've been to Jerusalem. They're on their way home. They go a day's journey, which is 18 or 20 miles into the country, supposing him to have been there. There's a lot of fundamental independent Baptist remnant today supposing that Jesus is in the company. We need to be careful here as a remnant thinking, oh, I'm a part of the remnant, so I've arrived. How about the disciples? Were they part of the remnant? Jesus said again and again to them, how is it that you do not understand? And then he said, they're going to kill me, the Romans. They're going to take me and they're going to crucify me. The Jews are going to turn me over to the Romans. I'm going to be crucified. What was their response? They disputed among themselves who should be the greatest in the kingdom. Remnant. And then they all of the disciples, that remnant, forsook him and fled in Gethsemane. How about Philip? Was he part of the remnant? Yes. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou not know me, Philip? What about Peter? Certainly part of the remnant, but when the pressure came, maybe his life was even at stake. He cursed. That's one thing. And he denied, that's another thing. He said, I don't even know him. He was a remnant. How about Thomas? He missed the first meeting after Jesus was crucified, and he refused to believe. The remnant. How about Paul? Paul and Barnabas. We read in Acts 15, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder. So we need to be very, very careful not to get it into our minds, I'm part of the remnant, I've arrived. No, we've said before, the prophecy says as far as this world is concerned, it'll be anarchy. As far as Christianity is concerned, it'll be apostasy. But as far as the remnant is concerned, the problem will be apathy. And so Jude is writing to them and he is challenging them. He is concerned about the beloved. Now, to be concerned is a matter of importance to someone. And so he writes, and he says, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." He said, "Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before." He said, "Beloved, you need to be building up yourselves on your most holy faith." And so he challenges the remnant to earnestly contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Now, it's important here that he didn't say contend against the apostasy. He said contend for the faith. And so in verse 1, he writes to the sanctified, to the preserved in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, and to the called. Now, the called. Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." That word vocation has been translated calling 10 times. Paul said, "I beseech you, remnant, that ye walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called." Now, it's interesting when Jude writes in his introduction here, he says, "Mercy unto you and peace, and love be multiplied." Now, if you look at Paul's letters in the New Testament, he introduced his letters. He used the word grace 18 times, mercy 5, and the word peace 16 times. Only Jude, in his introduction, used the word love, and he says that love needs to be multiplied. That is, it needs to be greatly increased. Now, we think love is a warm and fuzzy feeling, and everybody's feeling great. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Love is a lot more than just having a warm and fuzzy feeling. And so love, Jude's love letter, he is exposing the filthy dreamers, exposing the way of Cain, exposing the error of Balaam, the gainsaying of Korah, the spots in your feast of love. He's exposing the murmurers and complainers and those who are walking after their own lust, those who with great swelling words are taking advantage of you. He's exposing the mockers at the end of the age. He is exposing the sensual that have not the spirit. Genuine love protects who is important to us. So today we just say, you know, a lot of pastors, they say, "Oh, I don't see any wolves. Who's any wolves?" And Dad said, "No, I don't see any wolves." Hey, wake up. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your church family. And Paul said, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." All judgment has to do with the truth. So Jude's love, we is beyond question. We don't need to doubt his love for Christ. He said he was a bond slave. Now, a bond slave, back then slaves had rights, and they could only keep a slave for so long. They had to let him go free. To be a bond slave, that slave would go to his master, and he would say, "I don't want to go free. I want to stay as your slave." Regular slaves had rights, according to the government. Bond slaves had no rights. He said, "You can do with me whatever you want." There's no doubt that Jude loved the Lord. There's no doubt he had a love for Christians. He said, "It's needful for me to write to you." Why'd he care? Why didn't he just go out in the backyard, put on the barbecue, and relax like most of the remnant? He had a love for Christians, and that love said, "No, it is needful for me to write." He had a love for the cause, which has to do with the truth, and the Bible says we need to be speaking the truth in love. Speaking is conveying information or expressing one's thoughts and feelings in a spoken language. And so he writes, "Beloved, I'm writing to you," he said. "This is for you. This is important. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles. But, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." He's writing to the remnant. It's important, this yourselves here. When you see that in the Bible, what is yourselves? Well, the Bible says we're a three-part being. We're body, soul, and spirit. The body is what we live in. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the spirit is that part that communicates with God. Now, when he says building up yourselves, he's talking about building up your mind, your will, and your emotions in your most holy faith. Now, we have this word, but. We never overlook the little words in the Bible. In verse 17, he says, "But, beloved." In verse 20, he says, "But ye, beloved." Now, the word "but" is used to introduce something contrasting with what has already been mentioned. This is very important. Now, when Jude wrote, he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you. To give all diligence, it means diligence is requiring immediate, total attention or action. Drop what you're doing, Jude says, and listen to what I'm saying. I'm writing to you about the common salvation. Now, it's very important to understand, there's no but here. He did not say, I wanted to write to you about the wonderful salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly. There's no but here. He said, I'm writing to you about this common salvation. What is common? That word, koinos, has been translated defiled. It's been translated unclean three times in Romans 14:14. It's been translated unholy. He said, it was needful for me to write to you and talk to you about this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that has crept in. It is needful for me to expose that. Needful is a circumstance that requires immediate course of action. Something has to be done. What should be done? Ye should earnestly contend for the faith. And notice once again, it's personal. He said, you need to be doing this. You need to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, what's it mean to contend? To contend is to assert something as a position in an argument with conviction. Now, if you're going to assert something, you're going to state a fact confidently and forcefully. Well, we have any contending going on in the Bible to give us an example? Yeah, Acts 11:2. When Peter was come to Jerusalem, Paul was contending with him before them all, it says in Galatians 2. Why? Because he was to be blamed. He was stating a fact confidently, forcefully and publicly saying, Peter, you're going in the wrong direction. That's what it means to defend the faith, to stand up for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why? Because some were teaching false doctrines, some turned aside unto vain jangling, some made shipwreck, some departed from the faith, some turned aside after Satan, some sinned openly, some sinned secretly, some coveted after money, some erred from the faith, some had their faith overthrown, some were vessels of dishonor, and thank God we had a remnant. Some were vessels to honor, but the problem is all of them were influencing people. And so it's so important that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so how to lose the next generation? Oh, well, let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from any issues. We don't want anybody not to like us. Let's keep, we caused some kind of uproar here, and we got to pay the mortgage. We have to keep the staff paid. What about those wolves devouring the sheep? Oh, let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from the issues. Maybe you need to really make this your sincere prayer, as we said at the beginning. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine.